Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about UnitedHealthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At UnitedHealthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for UnitedHealthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Fans are streaming in here at Commanders training camp. Dan Quinn, head coach of the Commanders, scheduled to join us in just a few minutes. Tress Way, Pro Bowl punter, will join us coming up at 8. So lots to get to upcoming on the show here from Commanders training camp.
Yep. All right, I made the purchase, $30.
Very good.
It's done.
Let's go. Did you get your discount? Did you bring your badge over, get your 30% off?
I didn't.
You slept? Yeah.
What was the discount?
They asked me if I was military.
Media discount?
30%, baby. Yeah, you just missed out on 30%, JP.
I was super honest.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
Man, I don't know that they would even check this. I look kind of military every once in a while with my short haircut.
Sure, yeah.
All right. That'd be stolen. DQ is walking in now.
You see the shadow DQ with the hat backwards.
Very good. He's going to join us here.
Our pal John Kime.
Hey, John. How are you, buddy?
JK. What's up, JK?
Oh, he just ran into Sean. Very nice of head coach Quinn to join us. Practice starts at 8:30, so just 45 minutes till practice gets underway, and he's going to join us here underneath the tent.
Yes, sir. There's Coach.
Look at that. He's got coach the fresh Quinn. Nikes on. Looking good.
Very good. Coach, great to see you. Thanks for joining us.
How are you,
us.
Buddy?
So, Commanders head coach Dan Quinn.
He's got the Wreaking Havoc shirt on.
Yep.
Yep.
So at the end of the table, we've got two of the most prominent Salisbury Seagulls of all time. Head coach Dan Quinn and Jason Bishop. Oh, and Tim the Engineer, also a Gull.
Wow.
Look at that. Look at
three
look,
Gulls.
Look at the Gull representation.
I spoke there in April. I know you'd spoke there, I think, last year.
Last spring.
I'm guessing the audience was probably a little bit bigger.
That's a huge downgrade.
I only had about 60 people. You probably had 6,000.
It was impactful, I bet.
Yeah, it was. man. Hey, thanks for joining us, man.
Yeah, good to be on with you guys, man. Enjoy.
And Jason, you did interview him when you were at Salisbury, right?
Back in the day on Sports Wrap, our sports show.
Greg Gaston, you.
Yeah, great. All we had, but you could only listen to the radio station inside the dorms on the TV.
Yeah.
Because they hadn't built the tower yet.
It's called a perk of being a Salisbury student.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Right. So I don't know, maybe 8 people heard it.
Yeah, 10 maybe. Yeah.
At so one, great.
I know we've talked to you about this before, but since we were going back to the day, at what point did you think that coaching was your calling?
I knew early that I wanted to coach. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have said, like, thinking that I was going to coach in the NFL, but I had, like, some impactful coaches coming up, you know, on me from, like, youth, you know, football and track and stuff through high school. So when I went to college, I majored in education thinking I would go, you know, teach elementary school and then coach high school ball and high school track. And then when I got to college, I was like, man, this is a good gig if you can do that all the time, you know. So, like, that's how I got rolling, thinking, all right, when I was in college, probably was the time, like, I'd like to go coach in college. And I did that for 10 years.
It's awesome. Well, right, I think we got to get right to it.
Let's get it, man.
Are you leaning towards Jaden playing on Saturday, or have you just haven't decided yet?
We haven't got there yet. Like, the next 2 days, we're still, like, back into our camp space to go. So I'll kind of look at the whole team, you know, once we get through, like, Thursday, and then we can decide who we're going in. But with new systems today, tomorrow, man, like, back to camp and going to dig in. So that's right. Where we're at.
What are the pros and cons of playing versus not playing? Obviously, not playing the pro is they don't get hurt.
Right. So that's the pro. The pro is new systems, timing, you know, new looks. So when you had the joint, that helps when you have the joint practices to get some of those guys work in that space. But just having the time together in a game, it helps for sure. And then also, like, going through the entire routine of what it looks like to go play.
Yeah, right.
You know, without, like, getting yourself all the way ready.
If you decided, okay, Jaden should get a couple series just to get him in the rhythm.
Right.
I would assume you have to play the number one offensive line, too. You got to play all the starters.
100%.
Up front.
Would that include receivers and everything? Is that kind of an all or nothing deal?
It's not all or nothing. It's really custom to, like, where the health of the team is. Like, if somebody was not healthy enough to go, you know, then we wouldn't. It'd have to be, hey, man, like, all systems are go, then you get to play. But, yeah, that would, like, the O-line would certainly be a factor.
I defer to you. I mean, obviously, you're the pro. We don't know anything. But it seems like from afar that preseason's almost become, like, the way, like, the Pro Bowl is and, like, the way All-Star games are. Like, that you guys are getting your big work in the joint practices, and this is more for back of the roster. And
some
it's just
of
like
that
the
in some games.
The juice just isn't worth the squeeze, as I'm making that argument. I don't want my guy to play two series.
We disagree on this.
Yeah, and you're going to say, hey, Jay, just stay, you know, just dump it off, whatever, get rid of it. But he's a competitor.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to blow around. He's going to take off, and 80,000 people are going to freak out.
That's going to happen whether it's preseason, regular season.
Right, but regular season, it matters.
Yeah, well, this matters, too, to get ready for the regular season.
That's what I said.
That would be my argument
to
say, if you can find a margin or an edge, you know, like, winning in the NFL is really hard, so if there's a space that it makes sense to do that, then you should. But there's certainly cases where it doesn't.
Does he ever come to you and say, Coach, man, I got to get out there and play?
Of course.
Him all the time. But we've got a good relationship. Like, he knows, you know, when he can push back and when he can't. And so we had some of that last year when he wanted to go. Nope, this is where we stand and this is where we're at.
How hard is it to tell guys like Terry McClure and all these super competitors, like, you're not going out there today. You're going to be in T-shirt and shorts while the other guys that we're evaluating are going to get reps?
They get it. Like, sometimes there could be some disappointment. I don't do it, like, you know, like, while they're walking into the locker room, you know, or, like, after a pregame, like, okay, you know, so I give them some space and some time to get prepared. Cause, like, getting ready to play, like, you have to be all in all spaces. And so there's also, like, all sorts of good competitive ways for the guys that are playing to evaluate them and see where we're at. So, like, even in the game, you know, Friday, there were significant plays. What do you see? You're evaluating guys, so there's a lot to gain, you know, for different parts of the roster.
I would also think it'd be good for David, your new OC, to have his starting guys out there for, I mean, I know he's calling plays in practice, but in a game, does that help?
It does. Who are you going to feature into that space when you have, like, preseason games? Sometimes you're just relying on rules and that because you're not game planning the other opponent,
right?
But you do like some plays, if we can get, you know, this route, if we can get this call, that would be something that, you know, would be important.
Right.
Talking to Coach Dan Quinn, entering his third season as head coach of the Commanders, so third training camp. First training camp, a lot of veterans you guys brought in. I think it was unknown for fans what to expect. Last year, a lot of optimism, but you spoke this year that you wanted training camp to be different. Are you accomplishing what you set out to accomplish.
Yeah, and I think you'll feel that today in terms of what we were looking to do. I thought going, you know, after the offseason, could they come back into, like, in training camp, like, in crazy shape where we didn't have to play our way into shape? That was going to be like, and so seeing the guys come back, I felt that, which allowed these systems to get underway. The practices have been the most competitive we've had in our, you know, 3 years here together. There's a lot of position battles, but just, you know, the elevated competition, they're in shape, some depth at a lot of positions makes, like, every rep, man, it's on.
Right. One thing we talked about last year after the season was at certain positions, you guys needed to get younger and faster.
Yep.
Has that mission been accomplished? I mean, it seems like on paper, for sure.
Yeah,
is there a difference when you watch?
Yeah, for sure. The speed, you can feel both sides of the ball. Our special teams has always been a good flagship for us. There's some guys, we have good, you know, core special teams player. And to see some of these guys also start to make their way into year two and what that looks like, I'm pumped to see those guys as well. So I think you'll feel the speed in that group on both sides, especially on the edges.
Have you had moments so far where you're like, that's amazing, that's what it's going to look like, or are we still building there?
We're still building some, but there's definitely moments of that. I grade every practice. Uh-huh. You know, to say what are the, you know, the key, you know, performance things that I want to see at each practice.
How many A's do we have so far? We got any A's?
Yeah, there's a few. Uh-huh. But each practice I want, like most practices, it's back and forth to go. But where are we at with the ball and ball security and takeaways and penalties and mental errors and the speeds that I'm seeing? So I have certain markers for each practice that I want to see. And so what you'll see today and tomorrow, like this is a, like some of our high points of training camp in terms of reps and play time. And right. So like it's going to be a battle here in the next 2 days.
I was a little surprised that you let go of Jake when you did.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because you want the new kid to go through the two preseason games to get in the flow with no, you know, knowing what his role is going to be? Is that what you were thinking?
And he earned it.
Uh-huh.
So I would say you have a point.
So he earned it out here. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
But they've been going since, you know, the spring and then through the first couple weeks of camp. But we knew it had to go through the game process to gear, because Jake also, you know, had a good camp in terms of accuracy. But we felt, okay, this is the space that it's time. Drew earned that. And now over the next couple weeks, he can get all the kicks, all the plays, all the reps. And so so it was twofold. He had earned it, but he had to go through that process to get there.
Yeah.
Diggs. What are you seeing, Stephon Diggs? How much of a difference maker?
Oh, he's going
to
be a difference
maker. Yeah, he's actually an incredible teammate to, like, see. Like, I've coached against him for years.
Yeah,
and,
right.
But he's good against man-to-man. He knows where to sit down and zone. Yeah. He's got excellent, like, football IQ, football acumen. Like, that's something that you don't know about somebody until they're in your building or on the practice field with you. But, like, hearing him detail things. So it's been nice for some of the other players even to hear his point of view on certain things. So he's off to a really good start. Although it's a new system, he's been in, you know, played a lot of football. Okay, yeah. This is now this. So, like, his understanding of where we're at is certainly gaining. So it's nice to have him here now where we still get a couple more weeks as opposed to week one where you sign somebody and you're trying to catch them up.
What were your impressions of Sonny Styles' first game action against the Miami Dolphins?
Yeah,
I wanted to get into that.
Oh, good.
Because I hate social media. And I'm a huge Sonny guy. And
all these idiots
who are saying, oh, he's overrated. He wasn't trying. Got no heart. Who was the idiot that said he had no heart?
I can't remember.
Polymarket football.
So stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it was one series. It's his first game. I mean, he's going to be.
Yeah, I didn't love it. Like any of our first series, I'll be honest with you.
I know you didn't like it. I know you didn't like it.
But I would say, you don't have to be out here long to see the impact that he's going to make. He loves it.
Right.
He's into it. And so it's not surprising to see, like, he's going to be, like, a heavy hitter in our league. Like, he's got speed, he's got range, he's physical. So, I would not read into that one bit.
Do you think you're going to play some more defensive starters on Saturday?
We'll go through, like, today and tomorrow. Those are our big highest camp ones to go. And as long, you know, like, see where the guys are. But they're healthy to get going. And if we have that chance, then, you know, we'll give more guys opportunities for play for sure.
I'm going to lose the bet.
Probably.
I'm going to lose the bet. He's going to play the guys.
Hey,
I'm going to lose.
You're talking about Jaden.
A lot of them. Yeah, I'm going to lose.
Real quick.
Well, it is the second preseason.
Real quick, DQ, I wanted to ask you a couple of get-to-know DQ questions. I know we've had you on before. How many hours of sleep do you get on a night?
During camp.
I
set the over-under at 4.5.
I think it's 6.
I'm going to say over, about 6. 5.5 to 6.
There you go.
Yeah, right. Let's go. 4.5, you die. you need a little more than that.
What's the last movie you've seen in the theater?
That's been a minute. I'd have to really go back through the Rolodex right there. It's been a while, you guys.
Titanic?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is there a TV show you binge with your wife?
Not right now, but I definitely.
Eagles tape.
I like doing that because it is. I actually, speaking of the tape, like you go through the first preseason, you watch the division game. So over the last couple of days to see, you know, Philadelphia and Dallas, you know, and New York into their games. I like seeing, you know, some new coordinators know, on their sides of the ball. What are they doing? I watch the games in like game order. So not offense or just defense, like this was the kickoff, this is what happened.
With
this
sound on?
No. I didn't do it like on our regular, like the coach's copy of it. But it is a good way to watch a game because you get like the actual flow of it. How'd the ball end up here? What took place? Oh, there was an interception that got the field position here. So I like going through that and I get a feel of like who they are on teams, you know, some of the featured players.
All right, last one. Do you have a hobby when you're in Hawaii?
I do. I like being out on the water, and so
surf?
I'm part of an outrigger canoe club,
So
like riding the waves in and doing that, man, that's a lot of fun.
That sounds manly. That's a manly pursuit right
So
there.
It's a lot of fun to do that. I probably
How many on a canoe at a time?
Six.
Six.
And so I enjoy that a lot. I do that probably four or five times a week.
Good workout.
In the mornings. Yeah, it is.
Well, you're definitely coaching the guys how to row correctly.
Definitely not. Like,
you're out the signals.
They could care less that I coach. Hey, coach, get your ass in the boat. You know?
What time do you usually leave here? Eight, nine?
Yeah, it just depends. Like, in season is a different format, you know, than training camp. So now we get here early. So I get here around five and then get rolling with the guys. And then they get here around seven to start getting ready to throw a good practice. It takes a while. Like, fuel, hydration, get the warm-up. And then by the time, you know, 8:30 hits, like, they should be primed up and ready to roll. And then in the afternoons, we watch the practice tape, and then we start talking about things that we're going to cover the next day. We do a walkthrough in the evening. So it's kind of like a split day, you know, like the morning is big time, you know, push it physical. Then in the afternoon, evaluate the tape and then kind of get everything set for the next day. Into tomorrow, there's some goal line. There's fourth down and short yardage emphasis. Gotcha. So each day kind of has like, hey, this is what we want to get done today. Today you'll see some fourth downs and mediums like three, four, five, six. Where
today's going to be a good day.
You'll see some 2 minute. And so, but this is the last big block of us versus us. Mm-hmm. We get into a joint practice next week. So like back into camp mode to get to it. And this is our last like, man, heavy us versus us, bunch of competition. So,
do you like the fans watching?
I do. Yeah, it's awesome to have them here. You feel their energy, their juice for it. So it's definitely an advantage to have that.
All right, so 35 minutes until practice starts.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks for the time.
Yep. Being on with
Chucky's
guys.
Coming to you live from Commander's training camp in Ashburn. Joining us next, Tress Way here on the show. We'll be right back. We're celebrating 30 years of the Junks in 2026, brought to you by Main Street Bank. Cheer local, bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the...
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. According to Ookla speed test, based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put their team in your office. Main Street Bank, member FDIC, equal housing opportunity lender. We are out of the studio. We are in Ashburn for Commanders training camp. Tons of fans pouring in. Practice is underway on the fields behind us. Thankfully, the clouds have come out. It has cooled down, and I'm not going to get sun poisoning. Because the sun was relentless for about an hour and a half.
Yes, I see Mark
so,
right behind us.
So we're good
us.
Now.
He's walking over here. He was a helicopter pilot, right?
That I don't know. You would have to ask him that.
You always ask us open-ended questions we don't know.
I know that he went to West Point. I know that he's a big silly went to West Point.
I'm pretty sure he was a helicopter pilot, but we can re-ask.
We can certainly ask Mark Klaus, team president of the Washington Commanders. He is joining us now here at training camp.
So hopefully, what's up, Mark?
Did we talk your ear off at the media get-together? We feel like we monopolized your time,
God,
Jason.
I couldn't even
and I.
get to the food table, you guys. Were
the food was gone by the time.
No, look, you guys know I go to those things sometimes. I just hang out and like to chill in the corner.
Yeah.
Have
yeah.
a good time.
We had a good conversation.
We did. I always enjoy talking to you.
You gave
guys.
Us some good off-the-record stuff. I love it.
I'm good for one or two of those the way.
I was just asking the guys because I didn't remember. Were you a helicopter pilot?
I was
a
helicopter.
I was a helicopter pilot. Did you ever have a scare?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
What was the worst scare?
So I'll give you the two-second version. I was flying. So one of my assignments was in Death Valley. It was a bad guy. I portrayed the bad guys. Mm-hmm. And it was like 122 degrees. Mm. And helicopters are the power of a helicopter is based on the temperature and all this stuff. So we're out there flying along. And when we had measured before we went out, we were super tight, like almost too hot to fly.
Yeah.
And I got up there, and I was flying in. We were going to go around this peak, and I tried to go up to get over it. Nothing.
Wow.
And the only thing that saved us was there's like a dry wadi or like a – and I could turn into it and fly out of it.
So in those moments, what are you thinking? Did your mortality – like, did you know, you always hear about what do you think about those last seconds if you think you're actually going down?
Yeah. This will sound cheesy. I know that. So I'm just going to get that out there ahead of time. But you do train so much that you really don't think. Honestly, I realized there was no power. Mm-hmm. I'm like – you immediately know to look that you got to get down and get lower, and so that's what you do.
But if that option wasn't there?
Yeah, it would have been – I would have gone into the side of the hill.
Yeah,
honestly, if there wouldn't have been that cutout that I could get into.
How many people were in the helicopter at the time?
Three of us. So,
three of you.
Yeah. So,
how does that work? I don't even understand. Sorry, I got to understand this. How does temperature affect how
– the power of the engine. So the hotter it is outside, the less power your engine has. So how much weight you're carrying is super important as you're measuring heat.
Wow.
So I bet your listeners didn't know they were going to get the aerodynamics.
Good intel. No, that's interesting.
It's good information.
How long does it take you to look? We had an old radio producer, and I love the guy, but he told us that he used to fly helicopters when he was like in the Army or whatever, and I just didn't believe him. How long does it take? How long does it take to learn from scratch?
Yeah, so it takes a flight school's about a year. So it takes takes you about a year, and then look,
maybe he did.
Then you train, right? You go to a unit. You've got
you
guys
didn't believe JV.
I didn't know if I believed him.
Takes about a year to get
about
through.
A year. Yeah. Wow. And then are you? So then you're not a nervous flyer at all. Love flying.
No, I'm not. Yeah.
Do you fly regular planes? Do you have that ability?
I did when I was flying helicopters. But I honestly keep saying. I'm going to go back and do it again, and I just find in time.
Life happens.
Job's keeping me too busy.
Right.
I mean, I've always fantasized just to avoid traffic, having a helicopter available.
Here, in particular. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I would love it.
All right, so far, we got a couple days left when fans are coming by. Yeah. Success so far from your perspective?
It's been fantastic. And as you guys know, we doubled the days, essentially, this year. Uh-huh. Steered several of those to season ticket holders where we're really focused on creating value and making sure that we're making that experience positive. It's been incredible. I mean, we've been full every single day, rain, shine, great atmosphere, great energy, and these guys love it too. I mean, the players are like, you know, are fans going to be there tomorrow? Right. Yeah, they're going to be there. And so it matters to them a lot too. It's been great.
So a little thing that kind of went viral or was reported this week, if you went to the game, Braves on the Warpath is back. Like, how does that get discussed? How does it come back?
Sure.
How did you come about bringing those lyrics back?
Well, I think, a lot of times we've been talking about the strategy, if you will, of trying to connect our heritage and our past with today. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of the things that we focus on are looking for those things that fans loved. And part of an era that we are incredibly proud of is Redskins and championship football. And so we look for those things. Now, in this particular case, I would say, found that the old version was a little clunky, right? It wasn't as clean. It wasn't as, flowed as well. And so we said, hey, let's look at going back to that. And, we didn't make big fanfare about it, but I do think it lives more in the space of being a connection to the past.
And, one of the stars of week one of the preseason were the uniforms.
Yeah.
People raved about the uniforms. Yeah. You guys pleased
with
that?
They look great.
They did. Yeah, they do. When you see, I say this to someone, you talk a lot about this and you can kind of get into the, am I in too much into the details or minutia? Yeah. You see them run out of that tunnel on the field. You're like, yep, that's right.
That works.
That's the way it's supposed to look.
And the end zones, too. The end zones painted differently as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, I keep hearing about the new stadium, the current stadium, the upgrades, all, and people are telling me, you wouldn't believe, what they're doing, even though they're going to be there maybe four more years.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of that stuff?
I think it's incredibly important, and we talk about this a lot as a business team. I don't want to hear that you think our current stadium isn't good. I don't want to hear that we're going to be in a new one soon. We got to make the experiences right now for our fans incredible. And by the way, how can we expect you to come to the new stadium if we're not doing things to make this one better?
Yeah.
And so what we tried to do was focus on the things that mattered the most to fans, right? Which is, can I get them in and out of the stadium a little bit more efficiently? Can I make parking a bit simpler? Can the food be better?
More affordable.
Right. Can I create value for people on food? And can I clean it up? There were just things that we that needed to be fixed that had been
the ripped leather couches.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Or paint on a wall. You think about that as being a pretty easy thing to do to tell fans or to signal a fan.
Is there something brand new that we've never had to experience?
Well, if you're on the club level, you know that our club level season ticket holders are all you can eat.
Right.
And to be honest with you, two or three years ago, quality of the food and how it was distributed was a mess.
Sucked.
Now you'll see this incredible structure we've built. It's the facing of the kitchen. So the kitchen's right behind it. It's a heated, think of slots where you just grab and go, right? So it's always being replenished, always making sure, and we upweighted the quality of the food. And a lot of love this year for the $5 Bud Lights too. So,
and that's because Danny Boy and his team back in the day didn't give an F.
Well, look, I think
he's forward facing. He doesn't care about him.
I think the reality is that we have a responsibility to make that experience as great as we can. And we were super grateful to have so many season ticket holders come back to the franchise, and I feel like I got to make that work. I got to make it a value.
One thing that we talked about when Cakes and I were hanging out with you at the happy hour was, and you talked about it, about interviewing the companies that they were going to build the new stadium.
Yeah.
And you guys finally decided it.
We did.
Clark was one.
Yep.
I can't remember the other two.
Morton, Sid, and Smoot.
Okay, so you hired three companies.
Yeah.
How did that – you told us about the process.
Yeah.
And that was a long process.
It's a long process.
A lot of details.
It's a long process.
You decided on those three companies.
Yeah, so, as is the case many times in life, everyone's kind of good at certain things. And
right.
So when you're building a stadium – this is not a project you can just kind of pick one person.
No, no. Mm-hmm.
So you really got to look across the entire array of what needs to happen to make this a world-class, and in our mind, the best building in the world. Mm-hmm. You got to get the right people in the right lanes. And we're super excited about Clark, Mortensen, Smoot. All three bring different skill sets to the table that are going to make this an incredible.
What about grass?
Yeah, so, you know, look, the good news, right, for where we are right now is we have time. We're going to obviously construct the building in a way that gives us optionality. And anyway, even if you did do turf, you'd want the ability to do grass
like
for
they did in the
things,
World
right?
Cup.
Like they did in the World Cup. But I think our mindset is we've got probably 2 to 3 years. Let's continue to see how technology unfolds. Our focus is try to bring the best surface for the players. Let's see what happens. I mean, science is advancing on both fronts, right? Mm-hmm. Quality of grass that can be grown indoors, quality of turf, all of these things are moving. We want to give ourselves as much optionality as we can, so when we get to the point in a few years where we need to decide.
If you did decide, and I know it's probably a long shot, but if you did decide to go grass, what kind of considerations do you have to take? Is it actually like rolling it in and out? Is that like the biggest challenge?
So what you need to make sure there's infrastructure to grow the grass. So that's
essentially what does that mean?
Water and light, right? Okay. And so
you kind of got the light, right? With the
you translucent? Do, but you're going to need to supplement it with grow light. So
okay.
If you watch how they did World Cup, like if you saw any of those videos where it was showing how they were going into enclosed buildings mm-hmm. and growing that grass. It takes a process. Right? You've got to have grow lights. You've got to have irrigation. It's underneath the floor. All of the things that are necessary infrastructure-wise, and that's what we're focused
it's
on.
It's not now. Rolling it in and out. Did they do that in Arizona?
They do. Yeah. But see, the problem we have, that's a great answer because that allows you just to kind of get it out in the sunlight and go.
Right.
We just don't have that space at the RFK site.
Okay, understood. I didn't even know that was a possibility.
Yeah, physically it can be done. There's a lot of different techniques that they have now. But the reality is that we just don't have necessarily the space around it.
So for plausibility, it would be just full-time real grass with grow lights and whatever else, water, et cetera, that you need.
Yeah, and like I said, what we'll do is make sure that in the design we have the capacity to do that.
So, add it if you want.
Right.
Talking to Mark Klaus, who's the team president of the Washington Commanders.
How do you soothe the fears of a fan base that are starting to see reports of PSLs coming to the new stadium? They've never dealt with that before at the old stadiums. What's your
That's what happens with these new stadiums.
Well, I understand it can be confusing and it can be frustrating. Mm-hmm. What we're trying to do is make sure that, one, we're super transparent. All there's going to be is these incredibly high-cost PSLs is just not accurate. Mm-hmm. We've got a very distinct focus that from day one, you know, Josh and the ownership team have delivered is we need to make affordability part of our strategy. And, you know, we've talked a little bit about this. We're going to have what we call the Wall of Fans, which is going to be this really cool continuous bowl. So a little bit of a giving you a little bit. I've not talked about that publicly.
Oh, but very nice.
So
it's
going to be this kind of ability to see. Every seat in there is going to feel like you are standing up against just this incredible, you know, stack of fans that are over the tunnels where we come out, where the opposing team comes out.
So is that going to be the bit kind of like with where the Clippers have that wall? Like,
it's interesting.
Like if you're wearing enemy gear, like you can't sit here if you're wearing a Cowboys jersey. Like that
we're working all of that to make it very protective for our fans.
Great.
And we're going to make sure that those seats can be affordable, right? Mm-hmm. I want our fans, I can't promise that everyone's going to be in the exact same seat, but I certainly want them to have an opportunity to be part of this.
You've seen the reports from Buffalo where fans are upset about some of the obstructive view seats, et cetera. I assume some of that is unavoidable when you put a stadium together and you pack in 65, 75, 85, whatever. There's going to be some. How much of an issue is that going to be here in D.C.?
Look, I think part of what we're trying to do is design this so that every seat in the house, and I know you hear this a lot from people, like every seat's going to be a great seat, but we really are going to ensure that like our upper deck is going to be closer to the field than any stadium in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So your views from different positions and what I just described about the bowl, mm-hmm. You're not going to have these big overhangs where you're sitting underneath seats from above. It's going to be more of a slope all the way
down
the stadium.
It's going to be steep, though.
Yeah. It will be The way we're designing it is it will definitely pull you closer to the field, but you're not going to feel like you're, you know, climbing
about
Mount
to fall
Rushmore.
Down.
I grew up going, like, when I was a kid, both my parents, Buckeyes, so not Ohio State fans, sorry. But I used to get taken up to the top deck there. Man, that was a mountain climb to get up at those seats.
Oh, I bet.
I loved every minute of it. Yeah. But
what was your favorite game growing up? Do you have a memory?
Well, anytime we beat that team up north. That was a good day. But now I got to be more diplomatic than that.
Yeah.
But,
no, you know.
So I don't get it. How are you if it's not as sloped, how are you getting them closer to the field?
In the design itself, it is a slope. There's no doubt about it. But it's not going to feel like you're climbing Mount Rushmore. Right. It's the way that they can design it so that you've got this kind of continuous gradual move up. So there's no one part. Like, part of it, sometimes the bowls are flatter, and then it's like the straight ascension up. Ours is going to be more of a continuous curve up.
Gotcha.
And we'll, you know, we're probably, I would say, next 3 months or so, we're going to start sharing the views of that so people can really see what
Have you already put out there the like the screens and all that?
We're close on that, but it's going to be very unique. Nothing like it in the NFL.
Really?
Yeah, nothing like it in the NFL.
I'm wondering, you know, Pete, I feel like we have to ask on behalf of the fans. Some people still want the old name back. For us on the show, we got tired of talking about our fears. We feel like it's a dead issue. But I'm wondering, has the acceptance of Commanders and the Commanders brand grown in the last couple of years?
Yeah, you know, I've talked about this a couple different times, a couple different occasions. I know there are things that fans may want that I can't deliver, but what I focus on the things that we can change and that we can evolve. Everything from what we talked about earlier today, uniform, fight song, retiring legends that were part of our Redskins heritage and era. All of those things have been very thoughtful and part of this idea of connecting our past with our present. And I think in building the Commander brand with that as a combination, we've got a real chance to bring people along with us on the journey. And I'm going to keep looking for ways and opportunities to do that, where we kind of bring these worlds together. And that's really been the goal from the get-go.
Well, bringing the new stadium back to where the old one.
Yeah,
that's,
how about
that's
that?
Number one.
How about that? That's a pretty good one. Yeah. That's a pretty good one.
It's pretty good.
Well, we all said this during the run to the NFC Championship game. We saw more and more of the gear. And you see it, obviously we're here at training camp, but you see it more and more. Whereas
out and about.
John and I for years did a pregame show. And over the years, you'd see less and less Redskins gear. You would see like an old Chris Cooley jersey or, you know, a John Riggins jersey, but less and less. And now I do think there is an uptick on, you know, Commanders hats, Commanders jerseys that you're seeing out and about.
Yeah, no, look, it's funny that you say it. That is a huge measuring stick for me. Like, are people wearing Commanders gear? Are people out? I mean, I've seen people love the W with the spear, the Hail Razor jerseys out there in force. And people will know, like, if they
see my daughter's got the old one, right? Isabel, can you show your hat? She's
I love
got the
that
regular
hat.
W.
I love it. I like
it's
it. Nice look. Yeah. So it's funny. Like, my wife hates this, but, like, when I'm out and I see people in gear, I'll go up and say, hey, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
That's awesome.
It's getting harder. It's getting harder now because there's
many
more
people
of it out there. But, yeah, my wife, you know, whatever.
I haven't seen many number 5 LSU jerseys.
Did you used to wear Campbell suit gear?
I did. So
those are dying a little bit.
By the way,
CEO, you're wearing. I know. Like, what do you wear?
I wore it. Like, I'm all about the brand.
Yeah,
like, I'm all about the brand. But my wife will tell you this too. Will not go to a grocery store with me. I'll go immediately to the aisle. I'll start resetting cans.
Oh, really? Tables out.
I'll get the manager out.
You gotta
I'll
edge
be like, come
it.
On.
You gotta,
that Campbell, doing, man?
Yeah.
She's like head down right out of the store.
So. Who was the number two though? Campbell's is number one. Who was the number two soup?
Just like the team up north, it's the light blue can.
Oh, yeah.
Is what I would say.
Oh, it starts with a P. Yeah,
maybe.
Sounds like pro.
Yeah, maybe that's it. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I think we got some in our closet.
What are you
hated
doing,
when
man?
You
our
bought
pantry.
That. Your closet.
Hated our pantry.
If I come to your house, and I'm not saying I am.
Yeah.
But if I do, the first time you get a free coaching session from me.
Okay.
The second time I take that food with me.
No.
Get
that's hilarious.
So. All right, I have a question for you.
All right.
All right, if you're coaching this football team, would you play Jaden Daniels in the second preseason game?
So, you know the joy of my role, and this is just such a gift for me. I've got the two best guys in the business in DQ and
AP.
And they are so committed to what we need to get done this year. And look, I know they will look at all those. I can tell you this, though. There's probably no one that wants to get out there and play any more than number five.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
But I got two great guys that are making those calls, and I'm going to figure out how to get that stadium done and get them in the
awesome.
Get the environment as crazy as I can for them to win games.
Noon kick on Saturday.
We're going to let you go. Okay. We're not going to monopolize more of your time.
Okay. I know how you guys are. You get a hold of me. Yep.
Yeah. We know you got to do some
That's
stuff.
Mark Klaus, Commanders.
Thank you, Mark.
President.
Thank you, guys, thank man. You.
Here with Junks. Junks are out of the studio. We're live at Commanders training camp in Ashburn. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network. We're celebrating 30 years of the Junkies in 2026. Presented by Main Street Bank. Cheer local. Bank local. Main Street Bank is a business-focused community bank proudly serving the DMV since 2004. Visit mstreetbank.com to learn how to put their team in your office. Main Street Bank. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Opportunity Lender. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. And joining us right now is Paul Timoney, President of Baseball Operations for the Nationals. He jumps on the Rude Guest Hotline, Rude's most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Hey, Paul.
What's going on, guys? How are you guys?
Good morning. What's up,
Paul, I might be wrong, but I think you're one of the guys I've seen out at Commander's training camp. And if you're not, I still want to ask you this question, because sometimes you'll see these pictures of GMs or coaches from one sport checking out another sport. What does that do for you? Or are you just there as a fan?
No, I was out there. AP was awesome and invited us out. So Blake and I headed out there, and it was awesome. I think it does a couple things. Like, one, you're able to just pick up on certain things that, we face in baseball. Things as small as, like, hey, how you work a schedule on a day like that, which is a crazy day, and there's so many moving pieces in the NFL. I kind of liken it to spring training. Why do you structure your practices the way you do? And, how do you communicate with the players on what you're going to do that day, so on and so forth, and everything in between. So, and then I think there's this other piece where just being in DC, I think it's cool to have those relationships, whether it's with AP or Will or whoever. It's a fun thing. We talk about it, like the cross-pollination of DC sports is a cool thing. And it's part of the reason why, you'll see my kids rocking Commander's gear, Wizards gear, so on and so forth.
Did you grow up a 49er fan?
Yeah, big time 49er fan.
Yeah, yeah. How long have you known Adam?
You know what? I met him for the first time, I think during COVID. We were thinking through basically like how to run our scouting groups. I was with the Red Sox. He was with the Niners. Yeah. And so we hopped on a call then, but didn't really spend time with him until, I got this job.
Gotcha.
That's cool.
So
yeah, he's a good dude.
Just getting back to what's going on with the Nats right now. Everybody's talking about CJ and moving to second. He's obviously a little resistant to it, and he's not making any qualms about that. He doesn't really feel comfortable with it or doesn't want to do it. What is sort of your thinking from the organizational perspective?
Yeah, I'm curious if your guys' thoughts, but Blake and I, this has been a series of conversations over the course of the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. And what Blake and I talk a lot about is, like, hey, we always want to do what's best for the organization. I said it yesterday, like, we also don't want to be one of these organizations that does it without care and empathy for the player.
Mm-hmm.
And, listen, the bottom line is, like, CJ's been a shortstop his whole life. It's a huge part of, his identity as a baseball player. And so, we think it makes us a better team right now. That doesn't mean we just decide to roll with it and shove it down his throat. We obviously want to have conversations about it over time. And I'll say it, like, CJ has been freaking awesome. Like, when we had those meetings, he's been great. He's asked great questions. I think he's understood everything. There's a part of this that, hey, when this move is made, it upsets you a little bit, because it's a huge part of who he is.
Right.
But what I will say is, like, how he's handled, being upset has been great. Like, he said it to us. He's like, yeah, man, I'm not thrilled about this, but at the same time, like, listen, I get it. It's about the team. It's about the Nationals. And so let's go.
So he understands why he's being moved. I mean, technically, can you explain technically what he's been doing wrong for the last couple of years? And I don't know how much you want to get into it, Paul, but it's not all fielding. It's throwing, too. The one game when Brady House was playing first, you remember that game. Can't remember who you guys were playing, but routine ground ball right up the middle. He was kind of playing towards the bag. Just an easy throw to Brady House, but he kind of overthrew him. What is it technically that he's not doing right?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I'll say, like, he has made strides. I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, a lot of it is throwing, and CJ's so darn athletic. He gets to balls out the outer edges of his range.
Mm-hmm.
It's just about syncing up his top and bottom half and delivering throws on target. And so, we think that, playing second base will ease that burden for him. But at the same time, a piece of this is, like, you guys have seen us play the infield. being able to, and you saw it last night, like being able to play him at shortstop and, you know, and then, you know, with CJ at time, let's say in the next, whenever it ends up being the next week, the combination of those two guys, those two positions, I think will lead us to a better position than how we're currently constructed.
So, Paul, is it too harsh and or premature for me to say, like I did earlier on today's show, that this move is could be the opening salvo of divorce proceedings between CJ Abrams and the Nationals?
He's not going to say that.
It's just way too early for that.
Yeah, no, I mean, first of all, like I get your guys' jobs and I get how that could be received that way. But I think if you guys were in the meetings with, you know, CJ and Blake and I think you'd realize like the vibe is way different. And, you know, if you read Twitter, or read articles and people are, you know, throwing opinions out there. Like I said, like I could get how that narrative could get out there, but it's not close to the vibe that is actually taking place.
Yeah, I think what you said previously, though, is important because that message doesn't necessarily get out. Like, from your perspective, and, you know, when you guys sit down in the meetings, and that he gets it. Like, it's not something he loves, not something he's excited about, per se, but he does understand it, and he is about the team first. Like, that, you know, he gets it, that it's a great vibe. I feel like that message doesn't get out there enough. Why is that?
Sorry, the message of what?
Well, just that CJ's like being he understands and he's a team guy. And yeah. It's not something he dreams about, you know, necessarily being a second baseman or another position.
Yeah. I mean, it's an ego hit.
You know what I mean?
But at the very least,
what you said, that he gets it, he understands it, and he's been great. Why? That perception is not necessarily out there, right? The perception is, from my perspective, is that
he's pissed.
He's pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I totally hear that, and I think it's part of my job to communicate that to everyone because, listen, if CJ comes out there and says it himself, he probably looks like an idiot. You know what I mean? So, I was similar to Blake. Like, we want people feeling that as his teammates have felt it because if we don't do it, then you start to ask like, who's going to do it? And you know, if CJ does it or if his agent does it, it just I don't think it hits the same because it probably comes off like, you know, disingenuous. And maybe it does when I do it. I don't know. But I want folks to feel that because, you know, like most of these conversations or all these conversations, you know, the fan base isn't in the room, isn't in Blake's office. Right.
So we don't know.
It's honestly, it's these conversations, I think, happen a lot more than people realize, right? Whether it's like a starter getting relief work or someone changing positions or someone being moved in the batting order, whatever it is, right? This one's just a little bit different in that it's CJ and, you know, it's a move that, you know, he's doing not for the first time in his career, but for the first time in a while. So I think that's the other piece is like these conversations happen quite a bit and it's part of our jobs. So we just try and do it in a way where we're communicating as well as possible and then going from there.
Paul, what kind of a defensive player is Seaver King?
Yeah, he has been – Seaver's been awesome lately. You know, he's probably got still a tick under 50 games at AAA, but it was a little rocky in AA, and then he was making strides. And then when he got to AAA – he's really been great and, he's a great athlete, dating back to his days at Wake, like he just flies around the field in all facets, but now he's looking at like this, you see the makings of a really polished defender he's been really good. And, I think he'll be able to play short. I think he'll be able to play second. I think he'll be able to play third. He could be a great center fielder as well.
Okay.
He's a fun athlete to have around.
As you know, the fans are desperate to see him. Can you say today on the show, let's make some news, that there's going to be a September call-up? We're at least going to get a little look-see, give him a little taste?
I can't today on the show. It's obviously, you know, it's not to say it won't happen. But like I just said, like he still only has 40-something games in AAA.
Yeah.
And so... We want to make sure to kind of thread the needle, which no one does it perfectly, but
How do you know when they're ready?
I know that's like the age old question. And I think it's all unique to the individual. And you kind of just look at season their game and how you think it's going to transfer to the big leagues, and then just try and predict like, all right, this is how it's going to go. And we're not always great at it, but we try and do our best to make sure that guys are ready, so they don't come up, it goes really bad, and then they got to go back down and go through that deal, which honestly, like the large majority of young prospects go through anyway, because the game's so hard at the big league level these days. We want to do everything in our power to make sure these guys are prepared.
Joined by the president of baseball operations for the Washington Nationals, Paul Toboni. So we've gotten to see Jackson Kent pitch a couple of times. It seems like he's struggled to find the zone regularly. What have you seen from your 23-year-old prospect?
Yeah, no, I think you hit it. In AAA, really over the course of his career, he's done a really good job filling up the zone. In these first couple starts, I think he's just been a little erratic, and he would tell you that. I think the first start, I chalked a lot of it up to, just the nerves and the adrenaline of your first major league start. This one yesterday, I think he had times where he was thinking up his delivery really well, and then times where he was rushing through it a little bit. And, you saw a couple 3-0 counts and then walking guys. And we just haven't seen that really at all during his time in the minor league. So it's going to course correct at some point, hopefully is his next start here. And then, we'll be getting a much better version of him.
So how's the clubhouse right now after, on July 28th, you guys were two games above 500. I believe you guys were actually in the three wild card spots. And now, it's been tough. 60 and 67, lost 14 of 19. Wood's been out. Abrams getting moved. How's the clubhouse right now with Blake?
Yeah, it's honestly one of the things I appreciate most about this team is even when we're in the middle of these little skids, the clubhouse is good. And that's not to say they're okay with losing. No, it's far different from that. It's just they're able to show up every day and get their work in, and not have that vibe that sometimes you see in sports where it's like, man, we're never going to win another game. You know what I mean? Yeah. They're working and they're ready to roll. They bring great energy every day. And, I think it's a testament to Blake and the rest of the staff too. They're bringing great energy every day as well. And, it's not something that I really ever worry about. After the deadline, you guys probably remember, but we were in a little skid and, I was in Philly with them, and, you wouldn't have thought that, we were on a 3-4-5 game losing streak. They're the same guys every day, and it's what I appreciate about them.
Paul, good stuff. Appreciate the insight. That's Paul Toboni, president of baseball ops for your Washington Nationals.
Thanks, buddy.
It's going to win tonight.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.
Yep. All right. Thanks, appreciate Paul. You. Thank you.
All right.
Well, there you go. Try to get him to commit to Seaver King. Not going to commit to it yet.
Nope. Cakes brought up the D word, the divorce word.
I mean, he's painting a different picture. He's making it sound like
I like CJ actually, I like the question, but he's never going to say yes. I mean, he's not going to be renegotiating.
Though, when he said, hey, we have these talks and, it's not something he identifies himself as a shortstop. This is really, difficult for him potentially, but he gets it and he's been amazing. I actually believe him. I believe him. I don't think he's in there pouting.
He can be a professional but still be upset about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, but I don't think he wants to do it.
But CJ's got to look in the mirror and go,
I'm sure he is.
I'm not very good at shortstop defensively. I'm just not.
I'm sure he thinks he can get better, but I'm sure he understands that I'm responsible for this.
I mean, the numbers are what they are.
Yeah. And maybe he can.
And by the way, Nunez, I like Nunez, but he ain't that great either defensively.
No, he's much better at swiping bags than
and they're going to move. And so I don't know what their plan is.
Yeah, but they have prospects for down the road. It might be a couple years down the road or shortstop.
No, I get it. And I know that's what they're going to do. But, we're moving Nunez over to take Abrams' spot and moving him to second, flipping him around. I mean, I don't know how much better you're getting defensively.
I'm sure they've seen some analytics which say that it'll be a worthwhile move.
Okay, well, Nunez is second on the team in errors.
Coming up next, we'll open up EB's entertainment page. Don't go anywhere.
back-to-back double-digit strikeout games for Cade Cavalli, who's been quality in 8 straight and in 10 of 11, pitching like a true ace for the Washington Nationals. Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. In 1 hour, we've got tickets to the Freedom 250 Grand Prix here in D.C.
We are exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad. Estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com and be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com.
The pitching coach for the Washington Nationals, who's been behind the development and the productivity of Cade Cavalli this season, is Simon Matthews. Hoya Saxa, a Georgetown Hoyas legend, Danny, Simon Matthews.
Absolutely.
I want to talk to him about a couple of his impressive performances, including in the Cape, that I've heard some good things about. But Simon, thanks for a few minutes here on G&D. How are you?
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me.
Always a pleasure, buddy. Let's talk Cade Cavalli's just growth here. I mean, he really, truly is starting to look like a number one. When you see a guy on this kind of run, 10 quality starts in 11, the strikeout totals piling up, what is he doing better of late?
I think he's just been really mature all year about sort of biting off one thing at a time and trying to really dominate, you know, the next step in his progression, the next step in his development. For a little while there, that was right. Like, he wasn't getting through bulk innings all the time, every time out. And as our number one, especially early on in the year, like as we were figuring out how things were going to go, right? Like, figuring out how to be a little bit more efficient, get through bulk innings. And then, you know, he started navigating kind of a larger arsenal, right? Figuring out really what it is he was going to use each one of his pitches. And of late, recently, it's just been about coming out and making sure that he takes control of the energy of the game. I think a couple weeks ago when we played the Blue Jays at home and Max Scherzer had that outing where, you know, he didn't go deep in the game, but, you know, come hell or high water, he wasn't giving it up to us. There was a way he controlled the energy of that game. I think that was really important for Cade to watch that and how he went about that and figure out, you know, in the context of what it is he does and what it is he does well, how he can be that guy for us.
I'm going to throw Simon on hold, and Darris is going to try to work out whatever's going on with the phone. But I think that's a really good observation,
yeah.
Which is, we've talked about this, the difference sometimes in the stuffy, really talented young arms that can throw the ball past people and the really quality pitcher who's a frontline type starter is on that day when you don't have your best stuff, being able to figure it out and go hang 6 innings.
Well, even beyond that, what do you do well? And he throws 97 miles an hour. That's what his average fastball is. And yet, his fastball gets hit just when if he tries to throw it by people. That's what I want to ask Simon Matthews about here in a moment, is to figure that part of it out.
Yeah, but he's back, so ask him.
Yeah, so Simon, for someone with that kind of an arm, talking about Cavalli, his average fastball is around 97 miles an hour. Obviously, that's not the issue, but that fastball gets hit relative to his other offerings, and he's been pinpoint in terms of tunneling and kind of mixing and matching. But I want you to piggyback off your previous answer where you're talking about what he does well. It seems like he's leaning into things that aren't his fastball, and now that fastball has turned more into a weapon here of late. I'd love for you to speak to that.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Right, like velocity in today's game is kind of more necessary. It's the beginning of your ticket to the dance than anything else, right? And so he's got that elite velocity, but it's not elite velocity just itself that makes the overpowering fastball. And he's done a lot of really diligent work to improve the movement, especially on his four seam fastball. He's getting the hang of some grip adjustments he's made over the course of the year with the sinker to be more consistent with that pitch, right? But like, the thing that makes Cade Cavalli special is those two breaking balls and the ability to throw those. And so, you know, if that's going to be what makes him special, that's what he's going to go down fighting with. And I think he's made that conscious decision to use those two pitches really aggressively, to combo them off of each other. And then it's
it's caused the fastball, like you said, to start playing up along with a lot of the work he's done to continue to improve the quality of that fastball.
Yeah, to that point, just to dive into the numbers a little bit and to get a little deeper into that, it's interesting because his four-seamer, which he throws a lot more to lefties, but especially against lefties, still gets hit at a rate that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I know his expected batting average is like 255 compared to the actual batting average, which is closer to 300. But his stuff, throwing around 97, and maybe it's more a shape of a pitch thing or whatever. Like, I remember in AAA watching him sometimes, and he'd have a start where he strikes out 5 or 6, and you're like, how's that not 9 or 10 with that stuff? And he's starting to do that. But it is odd to me that the fastball has gotten hit by lefties to the extent that it has. What's the difference between days where that's not happening and days where it is?
A lot of times it's just the fine-tuning of command and location, right? If he's going to have a really good day, he's going to get his height right with his fastball. So if he's going down, it's down. If he's going up, it's up. But, I mean, this league can hit velocity right now, man. It's really impressive some of the work that even, you know, the 6, 7, 8 hitters in every lineup, 9 hitters in every lineup, like, they can all hit a fastball, man. And so if that's going to be the way things are, then Cade, when he's really good with the heater, especially getting his height right, then it can be an overpowering pitch. And then on the days when the height's not quite right, which have been fewer and farther between as of late, then, you know, he's going to be in business a little bit because it adds another thing that he can get guys to miss.
Nats pitching coach Simon Matthews kind enough to join us here on G&D. So, I mean, it's not like I'm taking this for granted, Simon. This has been unbelievable and awesome. It's a treat to watch. But you can't help but wonder, for a guy that doesn't have a million big league innings, what's next? Like, is there more growth in the tank for this guy who's just turned into a stud here in the second half especially?
I think so. I think anybody who spent some time around Cade, there's a real seriousness about him just as a man, as a human being, that, you know, reminds me of some of the really great pitchers I've been around, reminds, you know, Sean Doolittle and Bobby Wilson on our staff that have been around some unbelievable arms. Sean was one himself, just like of what it takes to do this year in and year out. I don't want to take for granted just how difficult it is to put together one really good year, let alone 2, 3, 4. But if there's a human being, if there's a man that's capable of deciding to put in that work and then doing it, it's Cade. So I'm going to bet on that guy. And I believe in him, continuing to take steps forward.
Simon Matthews, pitching coach with the Nationals, joining us here on Grant and Danny, talking Cade Cavalli, who's just been unbelievable.
Lights out.
Breaking run value is 97th percentile. Fastball velocity right now in the sport, 83rd percentile, and he's got a great ground ball rate. Strikeout rate's over 80th percentile. If you wouldn't mind, let's talk Will Dion for a second. I'm really intrigued by him because, you know, I look at velocity first a lot of the times, and then I can kind of get into some of the metrics on movement and whatnot, and I'm not an expert like you guys are. But coming over, I'm like, okay, it's okay big league stuff. But then you see his release and like how over the top he is, and there's a funkiness to him that I can't really explain watching him. Now, I'm not expecting him to only give up one hit every 9 innings like he has, 9 strikeouts. Like, he has been, I mean, he's thrown a no-hitter basically for you guys. He's been Mizorowski. But how is he so effective? I mean, he's pretty much like 91 to 93, right?
Yeah, no, you're definitely right with the funkiness. And I think he leans into it. It's just a weird angle for a good fastball that's got plus carry to it. He throws that kind of parachute style changeup that not a ton of guys in the league throw. And so it's kind of a perfect storm of him just being a complete weirdo that that he leans into, and it's been good for us.
I love that. But just getting to that about trying to maximize what everybody does, right? So he's leaning into being, as you said, a weirdo with a parachute changeup, et cetera. In terms of your core philosophies versus what each guy maybe does well, how do you balance that as a pitching coach to kind of make each guy to turn the faders up to maximum on each player?
Yeah, I think,
there's a reason why everybody's here, right? And so trying to be quick to understand what the sort of baseline reason why everybody's here is, right? So for Will, it's that fastball changeup combo, right? So we need to protect that with our life, right? He's got to be protective of that fastball shape, of his delivery and how he gets to it, and that changeup and his ability to kill velocity on it and execute it to both-sided hitters. And then beyond that, from a developmental standpoint, it's like, okay, what's a little seasoning we can put on this mix to get him to have even more success, right? So if you go to the butcher shop and buy a beautiful cut of meat, you're not going to immediately like chop it up into little pieces, right? You're going to put some seasoning on it, and you're going to try and put that beautiful cut of meat into a position to become a beautiful grilled steak, right? So I think that's ultimately what we're after, right? Like, what is it about this guy that makes him special, right? And then how can we add something here, tweak something there, while preserving the things that are sort of innate to him, and have him continue to grow and have more success in the big leagues.
This is my happy place, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when it's all over for me, they're just like, hey, where do you want to go back to? It's not going to be like, you know, in the yard with the kids or something. It's going to be like that time Simon Matthews was comparing steak to like deep dive baseball.
To like pitching repertoire.
Analytics, yeah. I know you're busy and you're not following the minors with like Ben Grable, Joe Glassy, Jack Siebert, and Josh Hartle and those guys. But I am curious, actually, now that we're talking about Dion, when these trades happen, do they have you watch tape on any of these guys or like get your opinion on their stuff or anything? Or because you're the big league pitching coach, are you kind of out of that portion of it?
No, absolutely. I think one of the real strengths of this group as we're building it out is some of the relationships that we're able to build just personally between the guys that are, you know, boots on the ground running that day to day and, you know, me as a big league pitching coach, right? So you've got Grayson Crawford, the director of pitching. He and I are super tight. We talk every day. And Devin Pearson and Justin Horowitz, two of our assistant general managers, who were super involved with the trade deadline, as well as obviously Ani and Paul. We're all in constant communication. And those guys, just as much as me, I hope it comes through, like, we all just love ball, man. So when we get a guy like a Joe Glassy is a great example, right? Devin Pearson's texting me like, hey, you got to pull up the video of Joe Glassy's first outing. It was unbelievable, right? And so we're all just like getting excited about doing this together. And you know, as our group grows and as our system improves and as we acquire some of the big pieces of the future, right? Like we're all just, you know, sitting around the conference table prepping for the Rangers, but also getting fired up about the, you know, Ben Grable punching out four in one inning in his first inning in Double-A with us, right? Like it's kind of all the same thing to us, right? Like it's all the same work. It's all stuff that we're constantly talking about, and it's been a blast to do it with these guys.
Yeah, Nats fans may not know because they're in the minors, but that group of arms, Grable, Glassy, Siebert, Hartle, who are some of the top guys you guys bring over at the deadline, 29 2/3 innings and just 3 earnings in the minors so far. And the two future relievers may be in leverage spots, Grable and Glassy, who have crazy minor league numbers. 10 scoreless innings with a .5 whip so far and 13.5 strikeouts per 9. So it's been really exciting. Those are all guys that aren't like in single A. They could impact the team next year. Simon Matthews is with us on Grant and Danny. We were talking about the breakout of Cade Cavalli here. On Brad Lord, he came up as a starter, was an org pitcher the year before you were here, former 18th round pick, kind of came into his own early this season, it felt like, as a multi-inning reliever. And now he's mm-hmm. back almost out of necessity, maybe, kind of as the bulk guy starting games. Do you think, when we fast forward a couple years, like where is he best?
I don't know if I can answer that necessarily. I think when Blake and I had the conversation about sliding Brad into the rotation, you know, as you said, in some ways out of necessity,
Blake put it, I think, in a great way where he's just like, I just think Brad's really good, so I want him to pitch. So if that's in the rotation, I want Brad to pitch in the rotation. If that's bulk out of the pen, I want Brad to pitch bulk out of the pen. I really believe in Brad's stuff. I believe in his ability to compete at this level. So I think ultimately Brad's gonna fall into his best role as our roster evolves over the next couple of years. But you know, he's something, whether it's announcing the starters for a series or calling down to the bullpen, he's somebody we're really excited to put in the game.
Simon, tell me about Jackson Kent. I'm a Jackson Kent guy. It's early, small sample, but it looks like a couple times maybe games, you know, sped up a little bit, lost the zone, more walks than you're kind of used to seeing from him. But I really like the profile. I'm much older than you. I like big 6'3", 220-pound pitchers. Like it would look like a tight end room for me on my
Absolutely.
Staff. I'm a Jackson Kent guy. What have you seen?
He's the real deal, and he's going to be fine. I think a lot of the conversations that he and I have had over the course of the last, you know, week, 10 days is, you know, it's gone fine for stretches up here, and it's gone less than fine for short stretches up here. But all the things that are between it going fine and it going really good are things that he's already done really well in his career, right? He controls the strike zone really well. He's not going to be the guy that walks a ton of guys, right? Like he got beat by what, 6 ground ball singles, here a couple days ago in Texas. Right. And so, you know, you clean up a couple things execution wise, and start to learn the league. And I think he's going to be really good, but I'm with you, man. Just not only looking at our staff now, but looking at our group in the minor leagues, I think we're getting close to that tight end room. I joke that we're going to lead the league at getting off the bus.
All get off the bus, team, Simon.
It's the biggest pitching staff ever. I mean, we were in the clubhouse. This was even last year before you guys were here. And like some of these dudes, and some of them aren't even around, but like you had to be 6'6" to be in the minor league side of your camp. It was wild how big the staff is. And I know the game's changing to an extent. But and that's everywhere. But.
Like, I want that little tiny fracas. Hopefully no punches thrown, no suspensions. But bench is clear. Bullpen comes running in, and you notice our bullpen. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's
Absolutely.
Big. Yeah, that's what I like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You mentioned...
We joked in Colorado when we got into the little scrum that Eddie Yeam got there the next day, and they were lucky they got it in the day before he got there.
Purposeful.
Well, I was just out of Commanders training camp, and they're down a couple D tackles right now. So if Eddie Jean's got nothing going on, they could probably use him.
He probably needs 2 or 3 weeks to learn the rules, and then he'd be fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Seriously.
Stuff-wise, you guys were one of the only bullpens. I saw a stat a few weeks ago, and this no longer qualifies. But there were like 78 relievers this year that were averaging 98 and change out of the bullpen, mm-hmm. and you guys didn't have any of them. And now you've added, obviously, a couple guys who do throw really, really hard. You just sent one down who's got to learn to throw some strikes. But I'm wondering about Luis Perales now coming out of the pen mm-hmm. the last couple times. He had a 2-inning outing where he struck out 3, and I mean, it was like just absolutely bite-your-knuckles stuff the other night where he struck out 5 and had a 90% whiff rate on the splitter. Is that a role we could see him in this season, do you think? And what do you make of his stuff? Because he's kind of had a... I don't want to say a disappointing season, but I've been a little surprised by some of the numbers this year.
I'm an absolute Luis Perales believer. I think he's a killer. I think the stuff is obviously unbelievable. Jump off the page at you. I mean, you know, I don't pretend to know exactly what we're going to do with him over the course of the next 5-6 weeks. Like, what I can tell you is, like, we're going to make sure we get this one right, because when we get this thing really rolling, Luis Perales is going to be running out of our bullpen to punch tickets. Right. So like, he's on a bit of a heater right now. And you know, hopefully he can, stay consistent with that, because you know, that stuff's going to work. It's going to work in this league. It's going to work in the next league. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just, I'd love to see him up here at some point. I don't pretend to know exactly how that's going to play out, but I'll tell you right now, that kid's going to be punching tickets for the Nationals and the big leagues for a while in the future.
Yeah, I can't wait. We saw him in spring training. It was actually funny. So Paul was sitting in the booth with us doing an interview with us, and it was the first time he'd pitched. It was like March 3rd or something like that in a spring game, and we had just gotten to West Palm. And Paul was like moving around and like nervous like a dad. And I'm like, are you?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, do you watch every game like this? He's like, no, but I told him not to throw it this hard. He was like, he was literally
he was rocking.
Like
yeah.
102.
He was going full Leo Mazzoni on it, dude. He was so upset.
It was like March 3rd. And I was like, oh my, like Paul's not going to make it 162 games. He's like, this is not normal. Like, this is my first, he had just traded for this guy, you know, but it was,
right.
It was hilarious to watch that.
No, that's Paul to a T too. If he's got a guy he's particularly fixated on, he is going to watch every bat of his eyelashes and track every step he takes around the mound. And then he's going to have thoughts after, and those thoughts are going to be right. It's been awesome to work with him.
That's cool. So Danny, before we let Simon Matthews go, so you sleep a little bit on when he was actually pitching. So how about an 8 shutout inning performance at the Cape against a lineup that had Cal Raleigh, Ernie Clement, Jonathan India? I think you were you on the same team or pitching against Tom Cosgrove for that game?
I was on the same team as Tom Cosgrove, yeah. The Chatham A's.
Chatham.
Back in my glory days. That's Let's the last go. Day I was any good.
I mean, that one, has Cosgrove heard about that?
I'd hang my hat.
I'll bet he probably has brought it up to you even. I mean, that's pretty nasty.
When he got here, I was joking around that he's one of the only people who might actually remember that I used to be any good.
Well, you know what's such a bummer is you never got to play on the on-field campus at Georgetown, where you'd hit a ball 500 feet and you had to go another 15 feet to that little mini graveyard where Mo Vaughn hit his.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. No. That's they've done a beautiful job with that campus, but I every time I used to walk past the business school, I would think about it used to be in a ball field and, you know, be a little bit bummed out.
It's a great parking lot now for the hospital. I mean, it really is a good parking lot.
There you go.
What's your level of Knicks fandom? Charlie Slows told me, like, during the playoffs, you were ride or die with the Knicks.
Yeah, I grew up a gigantic Knicks fan, through, you know, those, like, late 90s, early 2000s teams with Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston. My dad and I used to go to a couple games a year when Eddie Curry was, like, the quickest dunker of all time. And Isaiah Thomas was running the show. And as I've gotten into this job, it's really hard for me to end the day getting my heart broken by a loss that's not a Nationals loss or make my day with a win that's not a Nationals win, right? I already end the day 162 times a year, like either as a winner or a loser. So in the off season, I kind of need to take a deep breath, but the Knicks run was unbelievable. They hauled me all the way back in, and Charlie and I were sitting at the bar in Cleveland when they clinched because we were playing the Guardians. We watched them clinched, and I just sat there kind of soaking it up. It was a blast. It was a really fun run.
That's awesome.
It must be really cool to have your team win a championship. That is something we all want to have again. Simon, appreciate
That's
you, buddy.
Exactly right.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, man. Keep up the great work.
Yeah. Thanks. Take care, guys.
Yeah, congrats on the strong season. There's Simon Matthews, Nationals pitching coach on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. They got them one in Cade Cavalli. He is an absolute stud, and he's just starting to scratch the
Getting
surface.
Better as the season progresses. This is wear down time, by the way. This is career high in innings. This is I'm exhausted or my arm is a little bit dead. He's getting stronger as he goes. He's a horse.
Let's go around the NFL next. Some news and notes from the day that was in training camps all over the country on The Fan.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on two lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's key.
...able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with three key clean ingredients and backed by over four decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.